Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Today we are going to discuss valuations, and more specifically, stock valuations. As everyone knows, stock prices go up and down. Many factors influence those price movements, and I think for some, the world of investing can be confusing and overwhelming. Lots of numbers moving around, different terminology, a couple of random guys with a podcast and trying to talk to you about it. But there are tools that can help boil things down and make it easier to make decisions, and one of the best tools is valuations.
Simply put, valuations are meant to provide you with an estimate of a company's value. There are multiple approaches to consider, and we'll go over some of those today. But the idea is that you take the estimate of the company's value and compare it to the current price in the market. If your estimate is below the current market value, then that could be an indication that the company is undervalued and you should buy it. If the estimate is above the current market value, then that could suggest that the company is overvalued and you should not buy it or even sell it.
So we're going to go over some different approaches to valuations today and then discuss how all of that is relevant in the environment we're currently in. As many would say, from a valuation perspective, things are not normal right now.
I always like to think about valuations like buying clothes. Some stores are going to be priced higher, but maybe it's going to be worth it. Some stores are cheaper, but their clothes fall apart fast. And some clothes may be amazing, but it is discounted because it's a winter jacket in the middle of summer.
Yes, another simple example I like to think about is the price tag of the grocery store, which has the quantity of something listed in units. I'm not sure if every grocery store does this, but in Publix, which is where I shop, they list the price of something and then break it down in units and very small on the bottom of the price tag. When they break it down into units, it's much easier to compare one item versus another and see where you're getting the most bang for your buck. To quote the infamous Warren Buffett, price is what you pay, but value is what you get.
So again, we're really trying to figure out if a stock is over or undervalued. Fundamental analysis is a way to figure out what the actual value of the company should be. Stock analysts are projecting all areas of a business's future. Costs, how an expansion into a new market will affect revenues, how much a competitor will hurt their business, and many, many more to figure out what the stock price should be. Once we have the estimated fair value or stock price, we compare it to the current price, and then you have an investment decision to make.
One point to make before we get started here is that some of these methods can be very complex and too time-consuming for the average individual to perform. In fact, neither Shane nor I conduct these analyses ourselves. We simply don't have the time, and that's not our role in managing the investment strategies for these portfolios. But there are many professionals out there whose sole purpose is to perform these types of analysis, and we do rely on them to make these type of analysis for us. A brief understanding will at least provide perspective of how these things work and make the more simpler valuations more relevant and useful. There are three main categories of equity valuation models: the present value or discounted cash flows approach, the cost approach, and then the comparables approach.
The first two would be considered an absolute approach to valuations, whereas the last would be relative. With absolute valuations, they're meant to give you an estimate of the intrinsic value of something by taking specifics about that company. It could be net earnings per share, dividends, or free cash flow. In this case, we're going to consider specifics about that company with no consideration of any other company. With this, we are going to make future projections of all of these variables.
Let's start with the present value or discounted cash flows approach. In taking this approach, you're going to map out future cash flows and discount those back at a certain rate. This can be overly complex method and one typically performed by a more experienced analyst who is aware of the specific nature of the business and industry.
The most common approach here would be the dividend discount model, which is where we take the current dividend, make projections of how that dividend would grow in the future, and then discount that back to the present value.
So let's go through a simple analogy and think of this like we're trying to price an apple tree. How much would you pay for an apple tree in your backyard? And let's assume for a moment that you actually do really like apples and this is something you would like. Would you pay $50? How about $500? Well, let's assume the apple tree produces 10 apples per year and you could sell those apples at $1 a pop. So the apple tree is essentially going to save you $20 a year from buying apples elsewhere. If we assume a discount rate of 5%, the price you should be paying for the apple tree is $200.
So the reason we are using a discount rate is to take into consideration the opportunity cost of the money, and changes in the discount rate can play a factor. For example, let's say the interest rates were really low at the moment, So you lowered that discount rate from 5% down to 3%. The price of the apple tree now becomes $333.
Market conditions play a role in the discount rate, but so does risk. Let's say, for argument's sake, you thought the risk of the apple tree dying relatively soon was high. And so to compensate you for this increased risk, you increase the discount rate to 10%. At a 10% discount rate, that same apple tree is now $100.
There are various weaknesses to this approach as well. Not all companies pay dividends, or in Joe's case, apples. The analysis is subject to miscalculation in the growth rate of those dividends. It assumes business continue as usual with no elements of disruption or changes in consumer preferences or changes in tax rate.
Next up is the cost approach. Essentially, what we are trying to do here is determine the value of a company, taking into consideration all of the company's assets minus its liabilities. Essentially, if you were to try and build the company from the ground up, how much would that cost you?
This is typically considered the weakest form of valuation for a variety of reasons. There may not be enough relevant market data to come up with the appropriate estimate of value for something. The current value of the assets doesn't take into consideration any growth over time, or it can be challenging to value intangible assets such as brand names, customer lists, softwares, and patents.
But it can make sense in some situations, such as banks or natural resource companies. Much of the assets in those situations have up-to-date and accurate prices. This brings us to the last category, and probably the one most commonly used and relevant for our discussion today, which is relative valuations. This is where the current price of something, you take the current price of something and compare it to another company that is similar or an entire industry.
A common approach to relative valuations that we all may be familiar with is when you go to buy a home. You compare the price of the home to the other homes that are next door or in the same neighborhood. The idea here is that we can make assumptions about many aspects of the asset, which then allows us to focus on the differences, and therefore allows us to quantify the difference we may be willing to pay for.
For example, let's say that you're comparing two homes in the same neighborhood. Although there are differences, they will likely be in the same school district, same type of neighborhood, proximity to major attractions such as the city, the highway, or parks. Since these are the same, we can now focus on the differences, the number of bedrooms, the types of outside or the decor, and the size of the backyard.
There are many different types of relative valuations, things such as price to book, price to cash flow, dividend yield, but probably the most commonly used approach is the forward PE, which is the forward price to earnings ratio, which is the current price divided by the next 12 months expected earnings. Public companies are required to report earnings and oftentimes provide guidance on what things are expected to look like over the next 12 months. So coming up with these variables is not too challenging. And given that we are only making assumptions about the next 12 months, we're not making any outlandish long-term predictions.
So let's go over a couple of current examples. The current forward PE on the S&P 500, so the broad-based market, is 22.86, which is telling you that the current price for every $1 of earnings over the next 12 months, the S&P 500 is $22.86.
So let's stop and think about that again for a moment. Think about what Joe just said actually means. And initially, I can speak for myself. Paying $22.86 for a dollar of next 12 months earnings means absolutely nothing to me.
I would agree, Shane. Viewed in isolation, $22.86 just doesn't mean a whole lot for me, but it really does start to mean something once you start to compare it to other things. For example, that same measure for Apple is 31.6. So Apple 31.6, the S&P 500 22.86. So said another way, Apple is 38% more expensive when viewed on a forward earnings basis. Amazon is 114, so it's roughly four times more expensive than the S&P 500. And Tesla is 333, over 13 times more expensive. Conversely, Ford's forward PE is 6.47. That's 72% cheaper on a forward earnings basis. And Macy's is 4.65, 80% cheaper on an earnings basis.
So let's say you have the option of buying a company at 31 times earnings, like Apple, or the same company at 5 times earnings, closer to Macy's. You'd want 5 times every time because it's cheaper. But simply using valuation doesn't mean it automatically a buy or a sell. Stocks are usually either expensive or cheap for a reason. Apple is likely expensive because it's many different lines of business and annual updates to all their products that everyone purchases. Therefore, they will likely grow their future earnings. Whereas Macy's may not even be around next year. Would you buy a reliable yearly cash flow stream starting at $1 that will likely grow from Apple for $31, or starting $1 cash flow from Macy's for $5 that may not end next year. Another way of doing this is comparing variables throughout time to compare how the price of a specific asset is currently valued relative to history. Going back to the S&P 500 with the current forward PE of 22.86, the historical 25-year average is around 16. So relative to history, you could say that it looks expensive.
So now we've had a chance to review the different types of valuations. How is this relevant to today? First, broad-based measures suggest that stocks in general are expensive from a valuation perspective. As mentioned earlier, the current forward PE for the S&P 500 is 22.86, compared to 16 over the past 25 years. So on that measurement alone, stocks are about 40% more expensive than they have been over the past 25 years.
Earnings are expected to be under severe pressure over the next 12 months, given the economic impact of the coronavirus. For the PE ratio, earnings is part of the valuation metric, and when earnings are expected to be lower, the ratio will therefore be higher and look more expensive.
Next up, the market is currently rewarding a couple of things and also penalizing other things. So for example, we mentioned earlier the forward PEs for Apple, Amazon, Tesla, and others are really high. The market is really rewarding companies that are expected to grow their earnings in the future. And also, given the forced adoption of technology as a result of the coronavirus, technology-oriented companies are expected to grow a lot once the economy does start to recover. This is pushing those forward PEs up. Also, there are companies that are subject to disruption that may not be able to exist as they were decades past. So companies like Ford and Macy's are under pressure.
This year, the Fed is being accommodative by lowering interest rates near all-time lows because of the pandemic, which therefore lowers the discount rate we discussed earlier. For valuation approaches where we use discount rates, this will increase the price of stocks.
Lastly, even though stocks are expensive relative to many metrics, they are actually cheap when viewed relative to bond yields. Stocks and bonds are on some level substitutes with one another. So if bond yields were much higher, you'd expect stocks to be a little bit lower and cheaper from a valuation perspective. But given that bond yields are at all-time lows, stock prices have been pushed up and we're trading at relatively high multiples. So to recap today's episode, there are valuation tools out there that can help you quantify whether a stock is attractively priced or not. There are three primary types of valuation models: the present value or discounted cash flows approach, the cost approach, and comparables approach. The idea behind these tools is to try and come up with an estimated value for a stock or company. If your estimate is above the current market price, then the stock may be undervalued and vice versa. Currently, valuations across the board are higher than normal for a variety of reasons, such as the expected impact on corporate earnings from economic implications as a result of the coronavirus, expected shifts in our economy from the forced adoption and therefore acceleration of technology, and lastly, really low interest rates and an overly accommodative Fed. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at podcast@provwealth.com. And don't forget to check out our website, relatablefinancepodcast.com.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. It does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.